four, which is paper B, the triennial valuation progress report, and I'll hand over to Jonathan.
Thank you. This is an interim report to just keep the committee members up to date with where we are with the valuation process. We've made some very good progress and we're completely in line with the timetable to get the report and valuation completed by the 31st of March 2020. The report sets out what we've done, where we've done it, how we've done it, who we've done it with, where we are, basically. We have one employer left to agree their contribution rates, and we're in discussion with them. Slightly more complicated. It's not necessarily about the valuation itself. It's to do with a combination of schools and working through the ongoing liability of those. The intention is that the final valuation result with the certified rates and adjustment certificate, which basically states what each employer's contribution rates will be presented at the next meeting on the 13th of March, along with the funding strategy statement, which basically sets out the way in which the fund agrees its contribution rates, sets its contribution rates, and works with all of the employers. Unless you have any questions, just move you to the recommendation on page B5, which is to note the progress made towards the completion of the valuation and to note that the valuation report and funding strategy statement will be presented for approval at the meeting in March 2020. Happy to take any questions.
So the recommendations are B5, which is to note those two items, but are there any questions first, please, Jo? Yes, Steve.
Thank you, Jim. Obviously, you said a full answer because of the power judgment is still quite underway in terms of working out how the valuation will be affected by it. I just really wanted to try to get a feel for who it is, which group is being disadvantaged by those judgments and would be seeking to get a remedy.
Background of the McLeod and Sargent cases, as you recall, is specifically in relation to the firefighters and police schemes. No, judges. Firefighters, judges. Yes, thank you. Firefighters and judges. To do with they transitioned, it was the transitional benefits for, that, or the transitional protections rather, for those people who were within 10 years of retirement at the date that the regulations changed. And they were protected against their old scheme benefits rather than moving to the new career average scheme. And it was deemed that the age discrimination was against those younger, older members who were over 10 years from retirement and so therefore weren't subject to the protections. That's quite easy to identify in the schemes where there were specific individual schemes for each of those old regulations. For the LGPS, every time the regulations change, as you're aware, everybody's benefits are frozen and they move on to the new scheme from that date. But there was an underpin for those people within 10 years of retirement, effectively, that something was done in terms of transition to make it less difficult for them in terms of retirement planning. So whilst the cases were specifically for fire and judges, HM Treasury have deemed that whatever remedy is agreed for those schemes will apply to all public sector schemes, so therefore it will apply to the LGPS. The key point is, at the moment, the remedies for the fire and judges have been determined for the individual claimants in the first employment tribunal. It's now got to go back to those schemes for rectification. Then it needs to be built into legislation for those schemes. Then it needs to be adapted for the LGPS and built into LGPS regulations and then enacted. So there's a huge amount of time. We are working with the administration team to identify, specifically at the moment for fire, those impacted members. but we will also be looking at those impacted members for the LGPS. I don't know how many there are at the moment on either the fire or the LGPS, but Matt's working on that with his team. The anticipation is that this will take a substantial amount of time to resolve, probably into 2021-22 financial year, so not even within the next financial year. However, it could be impacted. So what we've what's been required is that an assumption is made in the valuation where effectively, although we can't work out what the remedy is and what the cost will be, to make it cover effectively what the likely outcome could be, there is an increased likelihood of success been put in, so slightly more challenging target, which should value the liabilities in such a way that any judgment is covered. There is provision, there will be provision in the final valuation report for the rates and adjustment certificate to be varied in between valuations should the remedy be formulated beforehand. So at the moment, the rates and adjustment certificate will certify the contribution rates for the next 3 years, and that is the minimum that each of the employers has to pay. Should the remedy come through in the interim period before the 22 valuation, there is an allowance for those rates and adjustment certificate to be varied. Does that answer your question?
I think it's fair to say that this is something which the employers put in to protect, as it were, those people who were coming close to retirement and benefits were not as good as they were, and it backfired because they said, well, if they wanted that special deal, we all wanted a special deal. So that's really what went around in a circle.
It wasn't the employers that put it in, it was the employers that put it in to protect the people who were close to retirement. What they hadn't anticipated was those people that weren't quite so close to retirement could have been detrimentally impacted.
Yes, okay. Yes, Barbara.
Sorry, could you put your microphone on?
Point 11, the engagement. I think the regulation says you have to have a meaningful dialogue. Did you have much response from the consultation?
No. Sorry, that was very facetious. I had no responses from any of the employers. I had no feedback from any of the officers. I had no feedback from the board or from the committee members either. So, I'm taking it as everybody's happy.
Yes, Paul.
My question on that point, actually, that's been raised, we wouldn't normally consult at Christmas when a lot of firms are shut down. It's a strange time of the year for a consultation, my observation.
The consultation period is a minimum of 20 days. We included, we issued it in on the 23rd of December, but we extended the consultation for the whole period of January, so it didn't restrict people for those 10 working days when they weren't around. We did make sure that there was sufficient time, but in the end, we had no responses anyway.
Not any difference, I know. But
okay, so can we note that item, please?
Yeah.
And then, as I said earlier on, we would like to switch the agenda around a bit, and we go on to what is on your agenda, is